Air, helping your car roll well beyond the 100,000 mile mark. Right now, get any 5 quarts of Pennzoil full synthetic or high mileage motor oil and an STP filter for $17.99 after $20 prepaid Visa card by mail and rebate. So visit your local AutoZone. With over 5,000 locations, the right supplies and good advice are just around the corner. Let's get you what you need. See store for restrictions and details.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM. KZIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Doug Brown. Joe Girardi's tenure as manager of the Yankees is now over. After 10 years on the job and with an expiring contract, the Yankees will get a new manager. Girardi is the 6th all-time winningest manager in franchise history, and only Joe Maddon has more wins over the last 10 seasons. But in 6 playoff appearances, the Yankees won just one title with Girardi in charge. Speaking of Joe Maddon, he'll have an all-new coaching staff with the Cubs next year. Today, the team fired pitching coach Chris Bosio, hitting coach John Malley, and third base coach Gary Jones. Chili Davis and Brian Butterfield will come over from the Red Sox. The rest of the Cubs staff will be announced later. Patriots linebacker and defensive captain Dante Hightower will miss the rest of the season with a torn pectoral muscle. Hightower is meeting today with Dr. James Andrews to get another opinion.
Experience why for nearly a century men have trusted Barbasol for a close, comfortable shave. Whether it's extra moisturizing with vitamin E or soothing aloe, all you have to do is sit back and bask in the glory of your close shave. You're looking good, America. You're shaving with Barbasol.
How will the recent massive data breach affect you? Is your personal information at risk? If you are a Discover credit card member, there's an important action you can take to help protect yourself right now. Go online and sign up for Discover's free Social Security alerts. Once activated, we will alert you if your Social Security number is found on any one of thousands of risky websites. Learn more and sign up for free alerts at discover.com/freealerts. Limitations apply.
AutoZone presents the oil change. Regular oil changes protect your engine from wear and tear, helping your car roll well beyond the 100,000 mile mark. Right now, get any 5 quarts of Pennzoil full synthetic or high mileage motor oil and an STP filter for $17.99 after $20 prepaid Visa card by mail and rebate. So visit your local AutoZone. With over 5,000 locations, the right supplies and good advice are just around the corner. Let's get you what you need. See store for restrictions and details.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Hey pros, from property updates to new construction, Lowe's makes it easy to save during our Ready to Refresh event. Get up to 30% off appliance special values, including great brands like GE. That's up to 30% off washers, dryers, refrigerators, and more. And knock new doors off your list with up to 10% off select in-stock Therma-Tru entry doors. For details, see lowesforpros.com or stop by the Pro Desk at your nearest Lowe's. Appliance offer valid 9/28 through 10/31. Door offer valid 10/23 through 11/3. Selection varies by store, U.S. only.
I'm Ari Wolf with NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network. Patriots defensive captain Dante Hightower missed Sunday's showdown with the Chargers due to a shoulder injury. NFL Network insider Ian Rappaport reports the team is now determining if their Pro Bowl linebacker could miss more than one game. Elsewhere, Saints receiver Michael Thomas missed practice Wednesday with a sore knee, but Vikings wideout Stephon Diggs was back after missing the past 2 games with a groin injury. Diggs and quarterback Sam Bradford traveled with the team to London Wednesday, meaning both have a chance to play Sunday. The Steelers say Martavis Bryant will not be active Sunday after the talented receiver publicly complained about his playing time earlier this week. The Jags signed linebacker Telvin Smith to a 4-year, $44 million extension. In Week 5, Smith was named AFC Defensive Player of the Week. And it's Matt Moore starting for the injured Jay Cutler when the Dolphins visit the Ravens Thursday night live on NFL Network. Our coverage starts at 6 Eastern. This has been NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network.
Need a new heating system? Let the Home Depot do it for you. Our licensed professionals will do the job right. And now get up to $1,600 via online rebate when you purchase and install a new heating and cooling system through the Home Depot. Call 1-800-HOME-DEPOT or visit homedepot.com/HVAC to get started. Valid on in-home sales between October 19th and November 15th, and installations completed and paid in full by December 15th, 2017. License number BC147263.
Napa Know How!
Keeping it simple is usually a good thing. And when it comes to rewards programs, keeping it simple is always a good thing. That's why we made the Napa Rewards program effortless. All you need is your phone number to start saving on the parts and tools you need. Then we automatically give you $5 off your next purchase for every $100 you spend. So start saving today with Napa Rewards. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how!
I want candy, bubblegum and taffy. To the sweet shop with my sweetheart Sandy. Got my penny saved, so I'm a sugar daddy. I'm a Hugh Cronin, she my Jessica Tandy. I want candy.
Back to the Todd Bravo Cam Show, right here on KGYM.
Welcome back in, and welcome to hour number two of the show, 505, emanating from the southwest side of Cedar Rapids in the KGYM studios on 106.3 and 107.5 FM and 1600 AM. It is the Todd Brommelkamp Show, along with Alex Kuhn, our producer, Kyle Mann, getting ready to make our way through the final 2 hours of the show tonight. Want to pass along a traffic update really quick. Kyle gave this to me during the break. There's a crash on 380 northbound, just north of the Iowa River. It's got traffic backed up all the way to the North Liberty exit, and some slowing in the southbound lanes as well, because, of course, everybody has to stop and rubberneck. So if you're maybe leaving Iowa City and thinking you're going to head north on 380 to Cedar Rapids, just to be aware that there is a crash. Again, just north of the Iowa River, traffic backed up all the way to Penn Street, which is the North Liberty exit, exit number 4. Maybe find an alternate route, or just be prepared to sit and go nowhere in the parking lot that is 380 North and listen and enjoy what could possibly be the greatest 15 minutes of radio that I have ever brought to you on this program, because it's now time for the unveiling of the 2017 Tournament of Bad Halloween Treats. It's a KGYM tradition. It dates back to, I can't remember when we even started doing this, but people seem to enjoy it. Everybody can do a bracket. Sports Illustrated did one today of the best Halloween candy. Ain't nobody got time for that. Everybody, then, it's, is it Skittles? Is it Snickers? Milky Way? This is the Tournament of Bad Treats. So just keep in mind as we unveil the bracket that we are voting moving forward for the worst candy in the matchup. Not your favorite. We're voting for the worst candy in the matchup, and we cannot have a selection show without selection music. Kyle, if you please, can we get the CBS? Do we have? Here we go. We head to the chocolate region of the bracket, and the 4 seed in the chocolate pod, after beating out its competition in the play-in game with 50% of the vote, the number 4 seed Butterfinger Bar. This was a suggestion of somebody on the text line yesterday. Butterfinger Bar will have an uphill climb. Of course, the number 4 seed will face the number 1 seed. But before we can get to that matchup, we have to go to the bottom portion of the chocolate region bracket. Number 3, technically, they are not chocolate. Don't read the ingredients if you enjoy eating them. Sixlets. Sixlets, the faux chocolate candy, in the field as a 3 seed, taking on the number 2 seed, Almond Joy. Sometimes you feel like a nut, sometimes you don't, and when you don't, the last thing you want is an Almond Joy. So Sixlets and Almond Joy in one portion of the chocolate bracket. And then facing the number 4 seed Butterfinger, the number 1 seed, this will be controversial. People either love them or hate them. The Tootsie Roll. Alex Kuhn, what do you think of the chocolate region? Is Tootsie
I've
Roll...
I've actually never heard of Sixlets or whatever they're called.
You've never heard of Sixlets.
So I need to go out and try them, but I think that is a pretty good, solid grouping there, and there are going to be some competition. And I think we could see a 1-4 upset.
You think Butterfinger knocks off Tootsie Rolls?
I think it's a good possibility.
The Almond Joy is the bane of my existence as far as candy goes, because not only is it almond, but it's also got the coconut combination. And usually, traditionally, I believe, right, dark chocolate? Are they not dark chocolate? So
I love Almond Joy.
A little bit of an... Whoa, whoa. We have confrontation on the unveiling. Now, that's the chocolate region of the bracket. Let's head now to the wrapped candy division. Did we just, we have the rights to use it once, Kyle, or can we use it? Well, okay, thank you. There we go. The wrapped candy division. And the number four seed here advancing with 53% of the vote from Twitter followers, Suckers. Suckers beats out Bubblegum and advances to take on the number one seed, which I don't want to spoil. But it is a very, very unpopular candy. And every year, people hate this particular candy. That's why it will be the number one seed going up against Suckers. But we have to get to the 3-2 matchup in the wrapped candy pod. Number three seed. A lot of people would argue they should be higher, but they're difficult to find, and that's going to affect the RPI. The Necco wafer. Necco wafers. The number three seed in a battle with the number two seed in the wrapped candy division, taffy. Now, this could be saltwater taffy. It could be some other form of taffy.
Laffy Taffy?
If you want to go there. I think Laffy Taffy is delicious, but Necco wafers against taffy in the 3-2 bracket. And Suckers, as the number four seed, it's now time to unveil the number one seed in the wrapped candy division, Peanut Butter Kisses. You know what I'm talking about. They're not quite taffy. They're not quite good, although I actually really like them. They're probably my favorite Halloween candy, and I'm in the minority. They're the little candies in the black and orange wrappers that sometimes have the little dollop of peanut butter in the middle. Sometimes they don't. I don't know what else to refer to them as. Peanut Butter Kisses. Peanut Butter Chews. So Peanut Butter Kisses, Peanut Butter Chews will be the number one seed in the wrapped candy division taking on Suckers.
I tell you what, every year we see a candy that comes in
It's Malkoon Jr. Whoa! Kyle, you didn't tell me we lined him up. This is...
I was okay. Going for Seth Davis, but Malkoon Jr. can work. Every year we see a team that comes in a little bit underseeded that has a chance to make it to the Elite Eight, possibly the Final Four. I look at a team like Necco Wafer, an absolutely atrocious candy that, ugh.
Do you just have one voice? That was supposed to be Seth Davis?
No, that I was going back to Malkoon Jr.
Well, give me Seth Davis. Maybe I like Seth Davis more.
I guess I don't have an impersonation. I was just going to do a generic voice.
Okay.
But I'm going to stick with what's worked for me, so I'll stick with Malkoon Jr.
That's you could argue whether it's worked for you or not, but yes.
A candy that has the consistency of chalk and tastes like Pepto-Bismol has a really good chance of advancing in such a deep field in the tournament of bad treats.
Okay, the Hurtin and Stocker text line. I'm gonna the reactions are pouring in, and we will get to them coming up in just a little bit. Speaking of getting to Brent Bloom, CycloneFanatic.com said to join us at the bottom of the hour. Let's go now to the sugary bracket, the sugary pod. Thank you, Kyle. The number four seed in the sugary candy pod. With 56% of the vote in the play-in game, defeating the butterscotch disc, probably because Alex said he enjoyed butterscotch discs, Smarties. Smarties advances. It will be the four seed taking on, well, no, we can't do that yet. We've got to keep people on the edge of their seats, just like they do for the NCAA selection show. The number three seed brought to us by Chris Earle of KCRG-TV last night, even though he used the APC Twitter account. Shame on you, Chris. Circus Peanuts. Circus Peanuts eliciting a curled-up nose from Alex Kuhn. Circus Peanuts will take on, in the sugary bracket, the number two seed, Pixie Sticks. Pixie Sticks and Circus Peanuts. And then who does Smarties face? the number one seed in the sugary bracket. The Kentucky of bad Halloween treats, some would say. Candy corn. Candy corn and Smarties in the matchup of the 1-4 seeds on the sugary bracket, and they will advance to take on the quote-unquote winner, it's actually the loser, of Pixie Sticks and Circus Peanuts. Mel Kuhn Jr., break down for us the sugary pod.
Of any of the brackets that we have seen so far, this is the best chance for a 1-4 upset. I know candy corn has its critics, and it is a very polarizing team, but I think a lot of people like candy corn, and not a lot of people like Smarties. So this is going to be a very close matchup, and candy corn cannot overlook Smarties. Pixie Sticks and Circus Peanuts, both equally bad, but I'm going to have to say that Circus Peanuts advances to round number two because they're awful.
Now, let's not plant your bias here with the listeners. That's just one man's opinion. But 39-38 on the Hertine and Stocker text line, toughest region right there. Now, you haven't seen the final region. So out of the three that we've revealed, the chocolate region, the wrapped candy region, and the sugary region, many of the texters are saying that the sugary region is perhaps the most compelling of the three. Now, we've got to get to the fourth, and some people are wondering, where, oh, where is the number one overall seed in the tournament? Well, it's in the chewy region. We go there now, Kyle. Glad we ponied up the rights for the music to play four times here, because we had four regions. The number four seed advancing out of that, again, it's Clinton Trump. 51% of the vote, Milk Duds knocked off Dots for the right to be the number four seed. Who will it be taking on? Milk Duds will be taking on the number one overall seed in the tournament. If you've listened to the show in the past, you know who it is, but I just spoiled it. Before we can get to the unveiling of the number one seed, we've got to get to perhaps the most compelling 2-3 matchup of the tournament. Again, we are in the chewy region. The number three seed, Now and Laters, squaring off against number two seed and previous winner of the Halloween Tournament of Bad Treats, the Good and Plenty. That's right. Good and Plenty is in as a number two seed, and it was bracketed with another past champion of the Tournament of Halloween Treats, the number one overall seed in the field this year for the first time ever, the Bitto Honey. Bitto Honey earning the number one overall seed in the tournament field by virtue of its championship last season. Bitto Honey will take on Milk Duds in a 1-4 matchup. So the chewy region is Bitto Honey against Milk Duds and Good and Plenty's against Now and Later. This is going to be controversial. Good and Plenty probably would have been a number one seed. Where would you put it, though? In the sugary? It's not a wrapped candy, and it's not a chocolate candy, so the only other option was the sugary, and candy corn was the clear number one seed there. So, unfortunately, Good and Plenty is going to have to take up its case with the public against the committee, but the committee has deemed Good and Plenty, there's no room for you in the bracket where you belong. We're going to put you on the road in an unfavorable bracket where you're going to have to overcome the number one seed Bitto Honey if you want to advance to the not-so-fantastic four.
This is a region that will give dentists nightmares. Four candies here. Three of them have decent flavor. One of them has one of the worst flavors imaginable for a candy, in my opinion. But Bitto Honey gets a bad rap. I'm going to be interested to see if Milk Dud is going to be the new Bitto Honey. Ever since Chuck Long joined this program and nominated Bitto Honey, it's been picking up steam, picking up steam, picking up steam. But since you've thrown Milk Duds into the fray, I think that they have a lot of momentum coming into this tournament, winning in Dayton today and then moving on to take on one of the mainstays in this tournament. So I'll be interested to see that first round game. And look for another upset in that 2-3 game.
41-84 on the Hurtin and Stocker text line. These brackets always make me scratch my head. How did the committee send Taffy all the way to the Sugar region rather than playing in their backyard in the Chewy region? It's a long way to travel for Taffy-hating fans, and that's unfair.
They had Taffy, a bad regular season.
No, Taffy is actually in the wrapped candy division, although you could make the argument that it belongs in some of the other pods as well. So, again, this is the first time that I mean the committee, has ever sat down and actually labeled the divisions, the regions, and then tried to place the candies in the... It used to be just be, okay, let's put Milk Duds up against Almond Joy and to heck with everything and see what happens. No. Actual science applied to the bracketology this year.
So there was no punishing Taffy for playing a weak non-conference schedule?
Nope, nothing of the sort. And I took no personal bias into account in creating this. We're getting a lot of blowback, not only on Twitter, but on the text line as well, the committee. People are not fans of the Tootsie Roll being the number one overall seed in the chocolate region. Look, Tootsie Rolls are... I don't want to speak for the committee here and the general public who also made the nominations, but I do remember as a kid, you got Tootsie Roll fatigue because at the end of the night, lots of people gave out Tootsie Rolls. So perhaps because of the quantity of Tootsie Rolls received, you perceived the Tootsie Roll as a bad treat. Oh, it's cheap. Lots of people hand them out. Big deal. Another Tootsie Roll. Now, I'm not talking about the big-sized Tootsie Roll. We're talking about the little ones. I used to get them when I was a kid. You'd go through the drive-thru at the bank, and they'd have like a handful of Tootsie Rolls if you had a little kid in the car. And not the flavor. No. The text line. No. Leave the flavored Tootsie Rolls out of this, because then you're bastardizing the process here, because they're fruity, not chocolatey.
So not the vanilla, not the cherry, not the lemon.
Regular Tootsie Rolls. So here's what's going to happen. We're going to have 24 hours of voting on the not-so-sweet 16 matchups here. 24 hours of voting on my Twitter account, at Todd Brummelkamp. And then tomorrow at 5:30, when we're at Coach's Corner Sports Pub in Iowa City, we're going to unveil the not-so-elite eight. And then we will vote on this throughout the weekend leading up to Tuesday, handing out the worst candy possible on the lawn and seeing how many people actually will go out of their way Tuesday night during trick-or-treating to stop by the station. We'll have some KGYM stickers and some other stuff out there too, and maybe some t-shirts and whatnot. Not everybody's going to get a t-shirt. Please don't hold me to that. But we'll see how many of our listeners go out. No, kids, before we get to Aunt Edna's, we have to swing by the radio station and get a, it could be Pixie Sticks, it could be Circus Peanuts. For the love of God, I hope something wins that's easy to find, because the 1 year I had the hardest time finding the little boxes of Good and Plenty's to hand out at Coach's Corner.
Yeah, you got the whole big
box. I had
box.
To get the bulk bag, and nobody wanted to stick their hand into just a big jar of Good and Plenty's, so they just sat there and went unappreciated and uneaten.
I have never been more offended by a text than the one that we just got from 8574.
You're new at this. You haven't been in this business long enough. Okay, what do we got?
How is Werther's Original not in the bracket?
Kuhn actually likes butterscotch candies and Werther's Originals. And I can vouch for this. For the longest time, Tyler and I kind of wondered about Alex when we were working together on the APC and Alex was producing, because there were Werther's Originals within the line of eyesight on his desk. And I used to say to Tyler, who eats these? And who makes a
this
public
guy does.
Who makes a public display of that?
Well, I mean, it's hard to eat them at the office and not have people see it. I wasn't trying to go out of my way and say, "Hey, everybody look, I eat Werther's Original."
Is voting only on Twitter? This question comes to us from James on the Hurtin and Stocker text line. For this round, yes. And my apologies for that, but maybe if you know somebody who has a Twitter account, call in a favor, have them vote for you. But we will take into account your texts beginning with the Elite Eight matchups. We will winnow this down, and then Tuesday during Halloween, I do want to check this on the calendar. I feel like I've been saying this wrong for the last couple days. It is the 31st is Tuesday. Next Tuesday, Halloween on the lawn, the second annual. You can call it that now because we're doing it for the second year in a row. The second annual Halloween celebration on the lawn of the KGYM studio. Now with signage, you can stop by and pick up whatever candy, quote-unquote, wins the Tournament of Worst Halloween Treats. 525, we'll step aside, take a quick break. There are a ton of texts to sort through on the Hertine and Stocker text line. Many of you are upset at the committee, the arbitrary rankings, the poor seedings, and what candies did not make the field. We revealed this in the 4 o'clock hour. For those of you that were curious, the original final play-in game, because remember, Bit of Honey is the number one overall seed, so the final play-in game was originally going to be Milk Duds against Raisins in the Chewy bracket, and then it was brought to my attention that Dots were a worthy team that needed to be included, and so Dots replaced Raisins. Raisins are the last treat that are left out, and I understand people still do give away small boxes of Raisins to kids on Halloween, so maybe better luck next year if this show is still on the air. Raisins could possibly elevate its profile and get into the tournament field.
Raisins was like the Murray State of the field. They won their
31-0
regular,
or whatever.
31-0, lost their conference tournament.
And then someone said, how can you have this tournament and not have Dots on there? And I go, yeah, okay, give me a pen. And I crossed out Raisins and I wrote in Dots. That's the science. What are we fighting about? Are we fighting about Werther's Original now on
Werther's
the text line?
Werther's are great. Yes, we're getting that support coming in.
And just be happy the Cardinals signed Greg Maddux to be their pitching coach and call it a day. 526, Kyle's going to get this show back on track with a big board update. Brent Bloom from CycloneFanatic.com will be with us at the bottom of the hour. If I remember right from last year, Bloom is anti-candy corn. We'll find out, though, when he joins us. More of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn on the way after this.
You've got your rake, your gloves, and plenty of leaves in the yard. Now you just need to know what to do with them. Well, it's pretty easy. The City of Cedar Rapids divides the city into quadrants and picks up every other week. The schedule's at cityofcr.com/leaf. But you can make it even easier when you sign up at crnewsnow.com. Sign up with your street address and the city will send you a text or email reminder when it's your pickup week. Never miss the leaf vacuum again. Sign up today at crnewsnow.com.
At the gym, we know good sportsmanship matters during a game and in life.
And we want to recognize good sports like you with KGYM's Community MVP.
So if your nonprofit group is holding an event to help folks around here, let us know.
Just go to kgymradio.com, click on Community MVP, and give us all the details.
Because you deserve most valuable player status for doing something great, and we want to help get the word out.
KGYM's Community MVP, brought to you by Fairfax State Savings Bank.
Hi, I'm Drew, Division President at Reinhardt Food Service in Cedar Rapids, and Reinhardt is looking to hire Class A CDL drivers. Our average driver makes $65,000 a year, has outstanding benefits, and is home every night for dinner. And right now, we're offering a $7,500 sign-on bonus to join our team. So call today at 319-390-7481 or apply directly at rfshires.com. rfshires.com.
I want candy, bubblegum and taffy. Skip to the sweet shop with my sweetheart Sandy. Got my penny saved, so I'm a sugar daddy. I'm a Hugh Cronin, she my Jessica Candy. I want candy.
Back to the Todd Brommelkamp Show, right here on KGYM.
Voting open only on Twitter for the next 24 hours at Todd Brommelkamp. The not-so-sweet 16 matchups winnowed down to the not-so-elite 8 and then the not fantastic final four. I can't remember what we called him last year, but the matchups are being posted as time allows. And again, you've got 24 hours to get on Twitter and vote for the least favorite in each pairing. And then we'll work our way down to what candy we'll have Juan hand out on the KGYM lawn. This qualifies as probably maybe the best thing that we do here at KGYM every year. And that really has me sort of evaluating everything about my life and this show. And
not you, the committee.
Well, no. This is me looking at the mirror, realizing that perhaps the one thing people actually enjoy the most about this show is the Tournament of Bad Halloween Candy, and they hate everything else. And that makes me wonder, is it all worth it? And at the end of the day, or every 2 weeks on Friday, I say, yes, it is. And we move on. Speaking of moving on, Kyle has a Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Midwest One, where you're the one.
The Big 12 released its 2018 football schedule today, and let's just say that Iowa State's going to have to get off to a fast start. They'll open the season hosting South Dakota State, followed by Iowa, and round out the non-conference schedule with Akron. But the Cyclones' first four conference games will be against the four other Big 12 teams currently ranked in the top 25. They'll have to host Oklahoma and West Virginia and travel to TCU and Oklahoma State. Matt Campbell also hinted yesterday that Johnny Lang and Matt Leo could both be candidates for medical redshirts. The Iowa football team announced today that former D lineman Jerry Montgomery would serve as honorary captain for this weekend's game against Minnesota. Montgomery played at Iowa from 1998 to 2001. Former Linmar Lion Marcus Page made his NBA debut last night in the Hornets' 17-point victory over the Nuggets. He played 3 minutes and got 2 rebounds. Iowa head coach Fran McCaffrey and his wife Margaret hosted the Hawkeye basketball tip-off party last night to raise money for the Adolescent and Young Adult Cancer Program at the University Hospital. They were joined by former Marquette and Indiana head coach Tom Kareen. McCaffrey and his team will host an exhibition with William Jewell College tomorrow night. Tonight after the show, it's the Dolphins in Baltimore facing the Ravens on Thursday Night Football. Kickoff is set for 7:25, but we'll have the coverage right after we're off the air on all three KGYM frequencies.
And we were so busy, I almost forgot to tell you about Mantality. Check out the website, lowtusa.com. We had Mark Lillibridge in the office the other day, the former NFL player, former Iowa State player, and he was talking about a number of his friends who are former NFL players who found it very, very hard to believe that they could possibly be suffering from low testosterone. And lo and behold, he convinced a bunch of them to go get checked out, and yeah, even guys who played in the NFL can have low testosterone. Testosterone eventually dips in men of all ages. It's just a matter of when it happens to you. And if you would like to get a little bit of your old self back, well, there is actually a way to do it. There is testosterone treatment available through Mantality. The website, again, lowtusa.com. They've got a new clinic just opened recently in North Liberty at 595 Ashley Court. It's conveniently located between Iowa City and Cedar Rapids. Their physicians are all board certified, and there's a good chance that if you qualify for the treatments, it's going to be covered by insurance. I'm told this is like going and hanging out in the best man cave you can find, not like going to the doctor's office. Mantality. Check them out again, the website lowtusa.com, and we'll be telling you more about them in the days and weeks to come here on KGYM. Brent Bloom from Cyclone Fanatic joins us next. We will talk bad treats and good matchups, Cyclones and Horned Frogs, this weekend at Jack Trice.
This bottom-of-the-hour Sports Center update is brought to you by CarePro Health Services. Connect with the people and answers you need at their next CPAP BiPAP clinic. Get details at careprohealthservices.com.
Did you work out a little too hard? Play a bit too rough at the weekend tailgate? Or maybe overdo it with yard work? Whatever it was, you're feeling it today.
Ooh.
So let CarePro Home Medical help. CarePro Home Medical has something to soothe that soreness, including Biofreeze, ice packs, cold therapy wraps, and pain relief devices to get you back to feeling better. Even weekend warriors need a little help sometimes. Visit CarePro Home Medical in Cedar Rapids or Coralville and connect with people and answers you need.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
MLB franchise has made more managerial changes after a playoff appearance than the Yankees. This will be the seventh time in the team's long history, as Joe Girardi will not be brought back. ESPN's Buster Olney reports GM Brian Cashman recommended the change to team owner Hal Steinbrenner, Girardi's contract ran out at the end of the season, which came in a seventh-game ALCS loss to the Astros. After a travel day today, Game 3 of the World Series is tomorrow night in Houston. The Dodgers and Astros tied at a game apiece. We'll have Game 3 starting at 7 Eastern tomorrow here on ESPN Radio. Tonight in the NFL, the Dolphins and Ravens in Baltimore. Meanwhile, Browns rookie defensive lineman Myles Garrett is out for Sunday's game in London against the Vikings. He's in the concussion protocol and won't travel. Chargers offensive lineman Russell Okung tells ESPN's Adam Schefter he's not happy about the league's progress towards social justice. Okung says he and other players may skip next week's meeting.
Experience why for nearly a century men have trusted Barbasol for a close, comfortable shave. Whether it's extra moisturizing with vitamin E or soothing aloe, all you have to do is sit back and bask in the glory of your close shave. You're looking good, America. You're shaving with Barbasol.
Hi, this is Tiki Barber. My football career taught me the importance of being prepared for game time. And now that I own multiple businesses, being prepared means having capital when I need it. That's where Cabbage comes in, with flexible lines of credit of up to $150,000. Apply online and get a decision right away. Withdraw funds when you need them without reapplying. Cabbage has supported over 100,000 small businesses. Get started at cabbage.com/gametime or 888-CABBAGE. That's Cabbage with a K, 888-CABBAGE.
Line of credit is subject to credit approval. See terms and conditions.
DirecTV has been rated number one in customer satisfaction over cable for 17 years running. But some people still like cable, just like some people like being crushed by a massive linebacker.
Thanks!
Shanking the game-winning field goal.
Yes, I missed!
Finding hair in their nachos.
Mmm, tastes better.
And getting snapped with a wet towel in the locker room.
Ow, fun!
For everyone else, there's DirecTV. For number one rated customer satisfaction over cable, switch to DirecTV. Call 1-800-DIRECTV.
As compared to other major subscription TV cable providers, claim based on 2001 to 2017 ACSI surveys of customers rating their own TV provider's performance.
I want candy, bubblegum and taffy. Skip to the sweet shop with my sweetheart Sandy. Got my penny safe, so I'm a sugar daddy. I'm a Hugh Cronin, she my Jessica Candy. I want candy.
Back to the Todd Bravo Cam Show, right here on KGYM.
5:35, welcome back in the Todd Bravo Cam Show with Alex Kuhn, taking you up until 7 o'clock tonight. And great show remaining on the way for you. We're going to get to Would You in hour number 3. We'll keep taking your feedback on the not-so-sweet 16 as we kick off the Tournament of Bad Halloween Treats. Great first 30 minutes on that discussion so far. And let's bring him on now, Brent Bloom from CycloneFanatic.com. Brent, when you were just a wee lad, when you were going door-to-door on Halloween, what was the least favorite candy that someone would drop into your bag?
Oh, it's not even close for me. It's candy corn, and there's not a second place. And I think that candy corn should be the easy winner of this tournament, and it should be every year. So get that thing out of here.
Now, we talked about this yesterday on the show. Whatever wins the tournament this year is what we're going to be giving out to the listeners when they come by the station on Halloween. So you want all of the Iowa State listeners who come by the station, you want them getting candy corn courtesy of Brent Bloom, just so you're on the record.
Candy corn should be the winner of the tournament, and you know, if people know that going in, then that's their own fault for receiving that candy, because it's an awful candy. It really is. There's not a second place.
I actually kind of like candy corn, but that's neither here nor... Maybe it's just sentimental value from being younger. Iowa State back in the top 25 in the AP poll for the first time since 2005. It's got people feeling really good about Matt Campbell, but then you look and you got the number 4 team in the country coming to Ames this weekend.
Yeah, and a good one. And if you look at both these teams, they're very similar in the way they've had success. It's just, you know, if you balance side to side, TCU's just been a little bit better in every category, and that's why they're a top 5 team, and Iowa State is good, but they're in the top 25. And this is going to be fun because TCU, from what I've seen, doesn't have a whole lot of weaknesses. So it's going to take an A effort for Iowa State, and we'll see what happens. I don't know if the weather is going to impact things at all, but up and down, you look at this TCU team, and they're just solid everywhere. They don't make mistakes. Kenny Hill's been really good at quarterback. They run the ball. They stop the run. They're opportunistic on defense, and they're good special teams. So I haven't been able to find a way that Iowa State, you know, can challenge them in some certain spots. Now, they have given up some yards through the air against West Virginia and Oklahoma State and even SMU, but that's about the only thing that you look at and you go, man, how do you beat these guys? So it's going to be a challenge, but if Iowa State has shown the last 3 weeks that they're pretty good as well. So we'll see how they roll it out on Saturday.
When we talked with John on Monday, he said what makes this matchup really interesting is that TCU and Iowa State are both really good at a lot of the same things. Can you elaborate on that?
Yeah, they both stop the run. I think that's first and foremost, and we've talked about it here on this show how important that is. Key number one, college football, stopping the run. And right now, Iowa State, well, TCU is number one in the Big 12 at 2.4, and then I think Iowa State's second at 3.3 yards a carry. So that's really good. Those are really good numbers. It's just TCU is a little bit better. And TCU, the biggest change for them from last year, remember they went 6-7 last year, is they haven't been turning the ball over. Kenny Hill had 13 interceptions last season. He only has 3 this year. He's been a lot more solid. And they've altered their game plan a little bit. They've gone to more of a run system where they're last year they were about 60-40 pass. This year they're 55% run. So they've been a little more sound with keeping the ball on the ground and churning some clock instead of that whole air raid system. Now, Kenny Hill can still throw it, but they've been a little more focused and deliberate in their offense. I think it's really benefited them. You're seeing a shift almost in some of the teams in the Big 12, where it used to be 1 through 10. Everybody was really airing it out, but you're seeing some success from some teams like TCU and Iowa State going, dare I say, to a Big 10 model and having some success in doing it.
Because of their ability to run the football, is this going to be much more of a physical challenge for the defense of Iowa State than Oklahoma and Texas Tech were?
Yeah, I think so. You know, Oklahoma still runs it really well. So I think TCU's run game is probably comparable to Oklahoma's. But, you know, it was interesting. Tech tried to run. I mean, Iowa State almost baited them into trying to run the ball a lot. And that's why they got all out of sorts in the first half where, you know, Iowa State was playing that three-man front and only having five, six guys up in the box, as they say, and Cliff kind of outsmarted himself and tried to run against Iowa State, and they stopped it. And that's how Iowa State got the lead, and Tech's offense got out of rhythm. But you know, TCU will be committed to it all game long, and they're good at it. They've got a big offensive line; they're very physical. Their running backs, they've got 2 or 3 of them that are very solid. So yeah, this is going to be a really physical football game, and especially up front for Iowa State trying to run the ball against TCU. I think that's my biggest concern going in is. This is a defensive front that is just as good as Texas's was, and Iowa State almost abandoned the run in the first quarter of that game and didn't really do it at all. So can Kyle Kemp win it himself? I don't know. So that will be interesting how Iowa State can match the physicality on that side of the ball. I'm less worried for Iowa State's D-line because I think they've been proven now for 7 games that they're pretty good, but it's that other side. If TCU can control the line of scrimmage on that side of the ball and Iowa State's forced to throw it 40, 45 times, I'm not sure I'm comfortable with Kyle Kemp trying to win a game like that.
Brent Bloom joining us from CycloneFanatic.com. Iowa State wins Saturday if what?
Man, I think I'm going to be cliche here, but win the turnover battle. I think that's what it comes down to. And TCU is so strong everywhere you look that Iowa State's going to need a bounce or two go their way. You know, if it's a turnover here, a special teams play. I think if these two teams play straight up, and they both have their A game, I have a hard time thinking Iowa State's going to win. So, you know, something fluky to happen, something weird, and then, and also control the clock. I think it's going to be a lower scoring game. This is not going to be your typical Big 12 shootout. This is going to be a game, I think, in the 20s. And so whoever can maximize, you know, a turnover, turn it into points, will be critical.
Now, you mentioned the weather earlier today. What's the latest forecast in Ames?
You know, not horrible. No, it's supposed to snow potentially on Friday night, but that should taper off in the early morning hours. But right now, right around 2:30, would kick off. It's not going to be too bad. It's going to be like low 40s. Wind a little gusty from the north. I've seen anything from about 10 to 20. So it'll be chilly, especially for those folks from Texas who may not be used to it. I mean, when TCU leaves on Friday, it'll be 85 degrees out at Fort Worth. When they land, it'll be 30. So could be an adjustment for them, but I think, you know, they have space heaters and they have coats. It's not like they're going to the Arctic North here. I think everyone will be fine. The wind could play a factor. We saw it, the wind impact Iowa State's passing game a little bit against Kansas, but you wonder if that was the wind, was that the rain? But I don't know if the weather will really have a huge impact. And by and large, 40 degrees at the end of October isn't that bad.
Coming into the season, we talked about some of the X factors on defense, the guys that needed to step up, and Joel Lanning and Ray Lima and Marcel Spears were some of those guys that you were talking about. In your wildest projections, could you have expected this type of production out of those three?
No. I mean, not, no. This has been this is almost unbelievable. I mean, if you think about it, Marcel Spears was a special teams player last year, and he had a good spring, and everyone had, you know, expectations for him, but not at this level, not to be a defensive player of the week. And, you know, Lanning's gotten a lot of the attention, but you could argue that Marcel Spears has been at his level or just as good as Lanning has. And, you know, the Lanning story, it's almost, because we've talked about it now for 4 weeks in a row, it's almost become old hat, but it's still remarkable. I mean, here's a guy that's averaging over 10 tackles a game, and he's still playing 10 to 12 snaps a game on the offensive end. And, oh, by the way, he hasn't played linebacker since eighth grade, and he'll probably play linebacker at the next level. It's just, it really is a crazy story, but it may not be the crazy story that I would say if you consider Kyle Kemp had not thrown a pass until this year, and now he's 3-0 as a starting quarterback and has one of the best passer efficiency ratings in the Big 12. So a lot of this stuff is surreal, and it's odd to me almost that Iowa State's got a top 25 matchup in late October and controls its own destiny to win the Big 12 championship. I still haven't put my mind all the way around it yet, but it's awesome. I mean, this has been a great time to be an Iowa State football fan.
Four good defensive efforts in a row. Is it safe to say, based on the sample size, and I asked John this earlier in the week, that Iowa State has an upper echelon Big 12 defense?
I really think that. Yeah, I mean, they're just sound everywhere. Now, it's interesting because after the Iowa game, we all kind of thought, oh, man, you know, this offense could be really good and the defense could be a problem, but it's actually flipped. I think the strength of this team right now is clearly on the defensive end. And, you know, they really, I think a big key, and there's a luck factor here, is Iowa State's been really injury-free on that side of the ball. I mean, if you look at the Hawkeyes by comparison and how much of an impact that can have, you know, with both the safety and the linebacker out, it really changes things. But Iowa State's been really healthy there. And Lima gets attention, as he should, because he's been the biggest game changer. Lanning and Spears have been great. But you don't really talk about the corners much, but they've been outstanding. I mean, Tech did not have anybody open last week, and those guys are covering for 10, 12 seconds sometimes. So they're kind of the unsung guys because they just do their job. But Brian Peavy, DeAndre Payne, and DeMonte Ruth have all been really good in coverage. And, in fact, people don't even throw at Peavy anymore because he's been so good at his one corner spot. When you're facing a talent that is in the Big 12, that's a nice luxury to have that allows in those front six, seven guys to get pressure in time because they've been so good in the back end.
All right, everybody's been talking about Matt Campbell and Kirk Herbstreit's tweets over the weekend. What's your take on this? I think Iowa State fans should embrace this. It's good to be talked about and focused on. Now, I know they're not necessarily happy that Herbstreit has him already ordering the U-Haul truck and packed and out the door, but this is not necessarily all that bad of a thing, is it, Brent?
No, I don't think it's bad. And honestly, I didn't think the first tweet was bad at all. You know, the whole, you know, I'll save you the search firm some money and just look at Matt Campbell, or you call him Matty. They must be buddies or something. But, you know, the second and the third, I think what rankled some Iowa State fans, just the assumption that it's already done, like it's a done deal, that he's already gone. And I think that's a little unfair, maybe short changes in Iowa State fans' minds, the program that he could potentially develop at Iowa State. And sure, I mean, Iowa State knows its place in the college football world, has not been a traditional power anywhere near it. But it's not as if Iowa State's a MAC school either. And I think that's what that irritates some Iowa State fans, is the assumption that it's just a stepping stone to something else. Now, it has been that in the past. And if you look at even, you know, Johnny Majors, Earl Bruce, and then Chizik somehow stepped up from 5-19. It has been that in the past. But Iowa State fans, perhaps in the sense of optimism or being hopeful, would prefer Iowa State be thought of maybe as, you know, a K-State or even an Iowa with Hayden Fry, where somebody could build something here in the long run and not necessarily just be a stepping stone for Ohio State or a Penn State or a Michigan like it has been in the past. And so that's the part that I didn't mind the first one. The second and third I thought maybe went a little too far, as if it's assumed that this is destined to happen and there's nothing Iowa State can do to stop it.
He brought up Johnny Majors. He's going to be back this weekend. Dan McCarney's back. I listened to John Walters talk with him. How great is it to see some of these former coaches coming back this weekend?
It's really cool. And, you know, I'm not getting old necessarily, but now it's neat for me when these older guys come back. And, you know, I grew up in the prime of Dan McCarney. So the fact that he's going to be back and he's so involved with this Iowa State program and Matt Campbell has him back, it's just neat to see that connection between eras. And it's just going to add to the life of the stadium on Saturday. Not quite a sell yet. Hopefully they'll get there by Saturday. But I think it's great to have those connections, and this staff has done a nice job of not only connecting former coaches but also former players to come back, and they're welcome back for this Iowa State program. And while there hasn't been a lot of history for Iowa State, that history is certainly celebrated and can show that it's been done, and hopefully they can take it beyond that into the future.
Brent, I know that expectations and outlooks on this team have changed over the past few weeks. So I look at the next three games, and those are three very tough games. But those two games at the end of the year against Baylor and against Kansas State, I know they're on the road, but do you look at those as should-win games for Iowa State?
Yeah, if you flip a coin, I'd say it's over 50% for both of those right now. And if you look at any metrics, you look at the analytics stuff, you know, the safest record to assume for Iowa State right now by percentage is 7-5. And those would be the two that are over 50% win probability. Now, as we know, that can all change. I mean, Iowa State's win probability going into Oklahoma was probably less than 10%. So you never know. But yeah, I mean, I think any Iowa State fan, especially the Baylor game, you know, K-State's getting better, and they had Oklahoma tied with a minute left, and Oklahoma scored late. They're going to get better. And they've been out without their quarterback for a while, so I think he'll be back in time for the Iowa State game. But certainly that Baylor game, Baylor's been improving slowly, but Iowa State is at a level probably a bit above them right now. And yeah, I mean, it's just crazy to think that seven wins is probably in a likely category at this point by the probability standards. And who knows, if you knock off a TCU or you know Oklahoma State at home, or you know, even the West Virginia game on the road isn't as daunting as we thought maybe 4 weeks ago. So there's plenty of life out there. And as crazy as it sounds, the Big 12 championship game is not completely out of the question yet.
From football to basketball, it's been a long time since we've talked about an Iowa State team that maybe has a this big of a chip on its shoulder coming into the season. Do you see them using this preseason predictions as motivation this year?
Oh, absolutely. I was at a banquet last week with Steve Prohm, and he addressed it right away. He said, I know we're picked ninth, and he said, I'll let you know something. We're not going to finish ninth. So I think they all know, they all realize that the expectations for them are not what they were, and especially with that the veterans of the team. They're not many. I mean, really, it's Donovan Jackson and Nick Weiler-Babb have kind of taken it as a personal insult that the people are questioning them, and I get it. I mean, these guys haven't proven it consistently as a starter. So yeah, they're really interesting. I don't know what to expect from this basketball team. I'm kind of go into it with my mind open and see what happens, but there's going to be some struggles early, and the Big 12 is good again. So, but yeah, they definitely have a chip on their shoulder, and that staff is encouraged with how practice is going. They've got a willing group that wants to play hard and play well. It's just, they're not sure how they're going to prove it when game action starts, but it'll be a different experience for the Cyclone basketball team.
Is that opener against Missouri and Michael Porter Jr. going to tell us a lot about this team, or is it just going to be a big-time feeling-out process throughout the non-conference?
Yeah, I would encourage Iowa State fans not to draw too much on that single game because, quite frankly, Missouri will be favoring that game and probably by double figures if I look at that thing. So, yeah, it's going to be a feeling-out process. We really won't know what this Iowa State team is like until conference play starts, and even then it'll be a work in progress, because when you're going to start, you're going to have four or five, six newcomers in your rotation. We really don't know what that'll look like. So I think the Missouri game will be fun because it'll be a nice little rivalry, but Missouri's coming in there with a little more ammo than Iowa State is. So I wouldn't jump off a ledge just because of that Missouri game. And really, Iowa State didn't play in that tournament in Myrtle Beach, which I get a chance to go with the team and do the play-by-play for that. And even then, they could go 1-2 in that tournament, and you know, people could be freaking out, but that's not going to be what Iowa State brings in the Big 12. And I think over time, they'll get better and better.
All right, I don't want to put too much pressure on you, but last year, was it last year or 2 years ago, Chuck Long was on the program, and he mentioned his distaste of the Bitto honey. And it wound up, he carried Bitto Honey to a win in our Tournament of Bad Treats. So this could be the year of bloom, the year of candy corn. If candy corn wins, it's on you, for better or worse.
No, I will, you know, I have very few things that I'm passionate about in life, but my distaste of candy corn is near the top. And I'll gladly take that branded on my chest, the anti-candy corn movement.
Brent Bloom standing up to big candy corn. coast to coast on the program today joining us. So we appreciate it as always, Brent. We'll touch base with you next week.
All right, fellas. Have a good one.
Brent Bloom from CycloneFanatic.com. Iowa State, TCU, number four TCU, coming to Jack Trice Stadium for homecoming this weekend. We'll have that broadcast for you right here on 1600 AM, our historic main gym frequency, of course, doubling as the Cyclone Radio Network. And we'll see what the weather does to this matchup. And I'm right there with Brent. You'll read my prediction Saturday morning in the Cedar Rapids Gazette. But before I even talked with him, I have the final score in the 20s. So as he said, not your typical Big 12 football game. Weather will probably keep this a little bit more low scoring. And the defenses will probably factor into this as well. I completely agree with him on the turnover battle. We're going to get back into the Tournament of Bad Halloween Treats. Woodja is on the way in the 6 o'clock hour as well. Lots more to get to as the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn continues on after this quick break.
Shifting gears is what it takes sometimes to move forward. PMX Industries in Cedar Rapids is looking for some special people like you who view life a bit differently. You're intrigued by the thought of working all night when the rest of the world isn't. You like the freedom and the pay night work offers, plus overtime. Shifting gears with PMX Overnight offers stellar health benefits with medical, dental, and vision, coupled with rock-solid retirement benefits. Working the overnight shift at PMX isn't for everyone, but shifting gears may be perfect for you. Learn more at ipmx.com.
Register now for the Let Me Run Fall Fest 5K, presented by Pinnacle Realty. This chip-timed race on Sunday, November 5th, starts at 1 o'clock at Kirkwood Community College. Proceeds benefit Let Me Run Eastern Iowa Corridor. Find race info at letmerun.org. The High School Football Scoreboard Show is brought to you by Holmes Murphy, Finding Insurance Solutions. Holmes Murphy, thinking ahead. Visit holmesmurphy.com.
Welcome back in, 5:55, almost through 2 hours of the show tonight. We've still got Woodja to come and lots more baseball talk as the Astros even the World Series last night in one of the more entertaining games that I can remember watching that at least didn't involve my favorite team. 5:56, let's bring in Kyle. He's got another Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Midwest One, where you're the one.
The Big 12 released its 2018 football schedule today, and let's just say that Iowa State's going to have to get off to a fast start. They'll open the season hosting South Dakota State, followed by Iowa, and round out the non-conference schedule with Akron. But the Cyclones' first four conference games will be against the four other Big 12 teams currently ranked in the top 25, hosting Oklahoma and West Virginia and traveling to TCU and Oklahoma State. Matt Campbell also hinted yesterday that Johnny Lang and Matt Leo could both be candidates for medical redshirts. The Iowa football team announced today that former D-lineman Jerry Montgomery would serve as honorary captain for this weekend's game against Minnesota. Montgomery played at Iowa from 1998 to 2001. Former Linmar Lion Marcus Page made his NBA debut last night in the Hornets' 17-point victory over the Nuggets. He played 3 minutes and got 2 rebounds. Iowa head coach Fran McCaffrey and his wife Margaret hosted the Hawkeye basketball tip-off party last night to raise money for the Adolescent and Young Adult Cancer Program at the University Hospital. They were joined by former Marquette and Indiana head coach Tom Crean. McCaffrey and his team are going to host William Jewell College tomorrow night in an exhibition. Tonight after the show, it's the Dolphins in Baltimore facing the Ravens on Thursday Night Football. Kickoff is set for 7:25, but we'll have the coverage right after we're off the air on all three KGYM frequencies.
And that's something nice to see Marcus Page. I know he was active earlier in the week against the Bucks in Milwaukee, didn't get into the game, and then last night finally able to say that we have another player here from Eastern Iowa who is in the NBA. Now, he's on that two-way contract. It means he can only be with them for 45 days, but very cool to see. I know Marcus has put in a ton of work to get to that point in his career, and hopefully it's just the beginning of things to come. He'll see a lot more than 3 minutes. Woodja is on the way next, and I don't want to set the bar too high, but the best bathroom-related Woodja in the history of the show is just around the corner.